this is not my burden for the conference, but just trust that the next 12 minutes or so will be used to profit. Psalm chapter 1, and let's read the psalm together. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, four times in this psalm we have the expression ungodly or wicked ones. Their counsel is evil. Their character is like chaff. Their condition, they shall not stand or rise. And their condemnation, they are going to perish. Yet it would seem to me that the main emphasis of this psalm is not so much the ungodly person, but rather the godly person. The contrast is seen throughout. Now, I guess I would just like to talk to you for a couple of minutes about what is a godly person? Are you a godly person? No, it's not a trick question, and I'm not asking if you are 10 notches above every other Christian, and I'm not asking if you spend 23 of your 24 hours in the Word of God. No, are you a godly person? What exactly does that mean to be a godly person? Well, I would just suggest four things, at least from this psalm, and we'll look at them verses 1 to 2. A godly person, first of all, is a joyful person. I think we could say also from verses 1 and 2 that a godly person is a careful person. Verse 3, definitely a godly person is a fruitful person. And then in the last verse, from the expression that we have there, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, we learn that a godly person is a hopeful person. What do we mean by joyful? And in some ways, we are no different than anyone else. We enjoy friendships and family and sunshine and lots of things that other people enjoy. But the word blessed here carries the thought of a deep-seated joy. Of a contentment. Now I think we could make a difference between the words happy and joyful. Happiness, of course, is often very circumstantial. Joyful can also depend on circumstances, but I would say that the word joyful would, the roots would go deeper than that of circumstances. It is certainly possible for a Christian to be joyful in the midst of difficult circumstances. You can go through the book of Psalms and you can find a number of things that would make a person joyful or blessed. In 32 and 1, we read, "Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputes not iniquity." And so if you are here today and your sins have been forgiven and your sins have been imputed to the account of another, then you have great cause to rejoice. I mean, no matter what happens in life, we are here today, a good number of us, probably 95% of us, and we are blessed, we are joyful, because our sins are all forgiven. Psalm 40, we learn, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And so when problems come and difficulties arise in our life and we don't know where to turn and we don't know what to do, we still can maintain this joy in our hearts because the Lord is our trust. And we know that our Lord, He's big and He is great. And He knows what's going on, and He controls what's going on, and so we can put our trust in Him. You know, in chapter 41, you know what it says? Joyful or blessed is he that considers the poor. I thought that was interesting and actually very, very good for us. That is one thing that God expects of us as Christians, to consider the poor. It will increase your joy. Chapter 84, he says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." And a lot of us here, we have the joy of just being in the house of the Lord. We don't deserve it. And yet, here we are, and the Lord, and we've already been reminded that when it comes to heaven, and I really enjoyed what our brother McLeod said about being in heaven, it is not so much the place. We're not going to be looking at stained glass windows, and we're not going to be looking at all of the big rooms and trappings and all that's around us. Our focus is going to be on a person. And you know, when our brother said that, the thought that came to my mind was this. Same is true when it comes to a local assembly. We're not so much occupied with the place as we are with the person of the place. And if you get your focus and if you get your attention off the person to whom we are gathered, it is then that problems will come in and our hearts will be all taken up with elementary things and surface things and other things and trivial things. But we can focus on Him. Psalm 94, he says, "Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, whom you teach." And so it is a happy son. It is a happy person who experiences the discipline of the Lord, because that discipline is meant to bring us back into fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is a godly person a joyful person, but you know, a godly person is a careful person. You say, careful about what? Well, I would suggest from this section of Scripture, three things. He's careful, first of all, where he walks. In other words, he walks, it says here, not in the counsel of the ungodly. There was a time when we walked in the ways of sin. There was a time when our ears were tuned to the world's words. But now our conduct is determined by the counsel of the Word of God. Our walk. If you want to learn more about your walk as a Christian, then You can read the book of Ephesians. I have just been enjoying that book. And, you know, we learn that the walk of the world is a walk of hypocrisy. Ours is a walk of honesty. Theirs is a walk of greed. Ours is a walk of giving. Theirs is a walk of revenge. Ours is a walk of restraint. Theirs is a walk of impurity. Ours is a walk of integrity. Theirs is a walk that's governed by selfish desires. Ours is a walk that is governed by scriptural doctrine. Careful where he walks. Careful where he stands. It says, nor stands in the way of sinners. So our walk involves the conduct of our life and where we stand. That to me would involve the convictions of our heart. Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And so this question, it reaches our hearts because we have to take a stand. Where are we going to stand? We stand with the world, or do we stand with the Lord? And then he says, careful not only where he walks, not only where he stands, but careful where he sits. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There seems to be a progression of wickedness, and from the ungodly to the sinner to the scornful, and the corresponding progression of backsliding from walking to standing to sitting. And this seat, to me, would seem to be a place of contempt, of ridicule. The lofty authority who thinks himself superior to the lowly Christian. He has the better than thou type of attitude. Mind you, that attitude can creep into our minds every once in a while as well. That pharisaical seat, that seat that kind of looks down and judges another Christian and sits back and instead of being involved in the work, kind of sits back and views it all and criticizes that person for doing that and that person for going there. Well, a godly person is a joyful person. He is a careful person. But you know, she is a fruitful person. And we are likened to trees that have been planted by the streams of water. The trees are in a place where they can draw from the rich, well-watered soil that is full of nutrients. And so the sister, she is the one who draws her sustenance from the law of the Lord, verse 2. The brother is not just getting into his Bible because it's his turn to preach next, but no, he's getting into it because his heart is delighting in it and thrilling in it and enjoying in it and delighting in God's Word. Chapter 19, the law of the Lord is perfect and desirable more than gold that perishes. And the person who is consumed with the Word of God, that person will be a fruitful person. Now, if I had the time, we could get into Galatians chapter 5. What are the fruits of the Spirit? What does it really mean to be a fruitful person? You know, the last time I read in Ezekiel, in chapter 47, where it talked about the water flowing from the temple of the Lord, going eastward. First it was ankle deep, and then it was knee deep, and then it was waist deep, and until it became a fast flowing river into the sea. You know what it says? It says that there were trees that were different kinds of trees, and their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, and they will bear fruit every month. Imagine. Imagine having a tree that bears fruit every month. That'd be a great tree to have in your backyard. Well, that's the believer whose tree is planted right there next to the waters that are flowing from the temple of the Lord and drawing sustenance from the Word of God. And we are able to bear fruit. I love the words of the Lord Jesus in John 15. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I'll have to sit down because the time is up. You know, the hopeful, a godly person is a hopeful person. We've been hearing quite a bit this afternoon about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, the ungodly, you get looking sometimes at the ungodly and you get thinking, well, maybe they actually have it better off than we do. I mean, they're prospering and they're going through life so easy and everything is hunky-dory. And what about me? Life is often so difficult and so miserable and so hard. And here in Psalm 1, he says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You see, the way of the ungodly, they will perish. But the way of the righteous, you know where our way is leading? Our way is leading home. Our way is leading to heaven. Our way is leading onward to the place where we will see Him. And so we have hope. Not a wishy-washy hope, but a true, certain, blessed, eternal hope. God bless His word.